Another day, another piece of breaking news. I'm not sure Adam Schefter is getting any quiet time through all of the chaos right now that is the beginning of the NFL league year. Adam Schefter has broken it on Twitter. Nick Foles has been traded from the Jags to the Bears. So it looks like at this point, the Jags are willing to hand their starting quarterback job to Gardner Minshew, and Foles will head to Chicago, where he will battle Mitchell Trubisky for the opportunity to get the starting job there. The Bears are giving up their compensatory fourth-round pick. That's number 140 overall, giving the Jags 12 picks in the upcoming draft. And a reminder that the Jags continue to simply send people off of their roster as they build more and more in the draft. We'll continue to get a look at what that means for Chicago specifically. All eyes will be on the Bears. But first, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. All eyes are still on Brady. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm asking you guys to chime in. What should New England do now that Brady's not there? What's the realistic option at the quarterback position where you think they can have the most success? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We're brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. Now, as we continue to look at what it looks like to have Brady headed over to Tampa Bay, Ryan Clark joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about Brady, the Buccaneers, it's so hard to say, and what the next step looks like.
One of the names that I like is Andy Dalton. You know, I know that over the last 3 or 4 years, it's been a little rough for him when you're playing in Cincinnati. These are the kind of things that can happen to you. You can suffer the consequences of your association and your affiliation. His first 5 or 6 years in the league, I mean, his first 5 years in the league, he had a winning record. After his rookie year, he went 5 consecutive years completing better than, what was it, 61-62% of his passes. And so when I think about him and the potential that he has, and him obviously starving for a different, more structured and beneficial situation to himself, considering the fact that he's never won a playoff game in his life because he was playing for the Cincinnati Bengals, him being accustomed to the AFC to some degree, if Bill Belichick is who we all think and know and think we know he is, I think he could do something with an Andy Dalton. And I think that Andy Dalton still has some potential left in him.
Yeah, I would say Dalton is a name you hear, but I like two ideas that are not really being talked about much. One is Taysom Hill. If the Patriots can make an offer that can pry him away that New Orleans doesn't match or Taysom Hill is interesting to me. I know he's thought of around the league as a gadget player. I've always thought he's more than that. The guy has an arm. He's smart. He can run through a brick wall and will do it. He's very fast. He can catch passes. And sometimes that kind of the plethora of skills, right, along the entire spectrum of talent obscures what is most valuable, which is if you can play quarterback and do a lot of those things, Lamar Jackson, because he's fast, right? But we've seen Taysom Hill do things that Lamar Jackson hasn't, like catch passes and play fullback, running back, the whole thing. So that can kind of get obscured. But he can play quarterback to the point where Sean Payton believes he's the next quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. So I think that's one. And the other is Matthew Stafford. Detroit won 3 games last year. No, they want to keep Stafford because it'd be a cap hit. They want to keep Stafford because they want to compete. They won 3 games last year, and Stafford has always been an elite talent who has achieved like an upper middle class quarterback, but in fact has elite talent. I'd love to see what Belichick could do if he got his hands on him.
I think Andy Dalton is going to be the name that's thrown out because I believe, to me, that was a name that was kind of connected to the New England Patriots when rumors started to go around that Tom Brady would be entering free agency and he would be testing out the waters in other places. But when you look at Andy Dalton, you say to yourself, what is Andy Dalton without weapons? What did we see with him when he had no AJ Green? This is a guy who has been on the decline through the last few years, even though he was off to a hot start where he actually made it to a Pro Bowl. And then you go back to Taysom Hill. I know we always kind of hear that Sean Payton thinks Taysom Hill is Steve Young and Sean Payton believes all these things. What I do know is for five games last year, Sean Payton did not have Drew Brees. And the person that was not the starting quarterback was Taysom Hill. It was Teddy Bridgewater, who is now in Carolina. So that tells me all I need to know about Taysom Hill is that he's great doing all of those other things and giving you some spot play at quarterback. But he's not necessarily a guy you want to bet your future on at the position. And this is with Sean Payton having an opportunity to get him those reps that would have said, you know what, you are the heir apparent to Drew Brees. I know this name won't be thrown out there, and I know a lot of people won't think this makes sense, but I like the name Cam Newton. Cam Newton is now going to be a guy who can seek a trade, not because he asked, but because the Carolina Panthers signed Teddy Bridgewater. And so now you look at what the New England Patriots have been offensively for decades, and that's been an offense that can morph into anything that they need to be to win football games, whether it's run first or if it's a game where they're going to use the short passing game or if they feel like they have a matchup on the outside that they can exploit. So that's a team that with a guy like Cam Newton, who can do a lot of the things that Max said Taysom Hill can do, but we also know when healthy, he can actually start at quarterback and win football games, even an MVP. If Cam Newton is healthy, if he's a guy that you feel that you can have a piece of for 1 or 2 years and then move on with a younger guy, that's someone I would explore, talk to, try to get into my building when it's time and we can to see if we can win football games.
That's Ryan Clark making a lot of sense there as he talks to Max and Stephen A. about what should be the next step for the Patriots at the quarterback position. Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. You guys can chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to stress a cultural portion of that too, though. The Patriot way we always hear about. I think as much as I think it's an adjustment for Brady leaving the Patriot way, it will also be an adjustment for somebody to come in to Foxborough and suddenly become accustomed to the Patriot way. So I'm interested exactly what type of quarterback can come in and immediately fill that sort of void and also understand culturally what has to happen. In the meantime, we're going to hop over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line where we're joined by ESPN NFL Buccaneers reporter Jenna Lane for the second straight day. Two straight days of Jenna Lane. Jenna, we appreciate you coming on. Obviously, the Bucs are the hot story right now. So talk a little bit about the cultural aspect of it. I think there's an adjustment for Brady in going to the Buccaneers and leaving the Patriot way. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's going to be a lot different for him working with Bruce Arians. And I've tweeted about this a little bit already, but I think it's worth bringing it up again. And I've written about it, too. You know, Bruce Arians is the type of coach where he really values that. Being able to work, you know, in a collaborative environment with his quarterback, gives his quarterback a lot of input, and certainly somewhat of Brady's caliber warrants that. But it's also just the way he goes about his job. You know, I ran into in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine, and I said, hey, where have you been? I haven't seen you all week. You know, when he comes over and he's just, you know, he greets everybody in the hallway with, hey, babe. Everybody knows him for his language, sometimes very colorful. You know, his sayings, no risk it, no biscuit. Everybody knows about that. Sometimes he gets a little colorful at the microphone. He's just so much fun to be around, you know. And I know that Bill Belichick has been criticized at times for being more monotone. He doesn't really show much personality at the podium. You know, Arians is on the complete opposite end of the spectrum with that. And he's really about having fun. But I'll say this, this football team, they work really, really hard too. They just go about it a little bit of a different way. He is also the type of coach, a number of his Cardinals guys told me this, he's still trying to find a location to do this in Tampa. But after games, big games that they would win, they'd celebrate in the parking lot by drinking beers. They'd share beers. And that was really a bonding thing that Arians enjoyed. He loves having a relationship with his players. He's hoping to do the same in Tampa. He just has to find a spot. He also really values being able to have a close, close relationship with his quarterback. He's even joked with us that he thinks maybe he got a little too close to Big Ben, and that's why he was ultimately, you know, ousted in Pittsburgh.
We're talking to ESPN NFL Buccaneers reporter Jenna Lane on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. So I think this is really interesting, Jenna, because Brady is known as sort of being a guy that takes some time to get some trust for his wide receivers. He has high demands as well. So as much as the casual atmosphere feels like it's what he's craving right now, how does he react midway through the season when things aren't exactly precise and suddenly he's used to a coach that comes in and commands that and that person isn't there anymore?
Oh, Arians is definitely tough, though. That's the thing. It's just more than one way to go about doing that. I mean, I talked to a number of people, and, you know, Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich were both telling me that the curse word, the MF word, I don't even know if I can say that on the radio. Obviously, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't spell it out. But, you know, he uses that as a term of endearment. But he's also using it at times, you know, telling guys, you know, hey, you know, this isn't cutting the mustard. He is all about, and of course, he's a disciple of Bear Bryant, coach him hard and hug him later. And I was talking to his son, Jake, about this, and he says, I've never seen anybody do it quite like him, where you're coaching him hard, but you're hugging him later, too. So believe me, he does demand precision. And I got to say, and getting to know Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, you know, I've been here for their entire careers, their young careers in the NFL. Those guys certainly demand a lot from themselves, too. And I don't think they would get where they've gotten, you know, two 1,100-yard Pro Bowl receivers if they weren't perfectionists when it comes to their craft, too.
We're talking to ESPN NFL Buccaneers reporter Jenna Lane. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. Jenna, last night Twitter was sort of all abuzz about the waiting list, the line, just to get in online and try and buy season tickets for the Bucs. I know we've talked a lot about what this means for Bucs fans, but you're in the thick of it. What's the buzz around Tampa Bay now?
Well, I know that some fans are, you know, they're cautiously optimistic, but until pen hits paper, they are like, they don't want to believe it because good things just don't happen in this town when it comes to sports teams. You know, I remember growing up here. I've lived here entire life, if you can believe that. I remember that tremendous longing for, you know, a major league baseball team and constantly feeling like, oh, it's just never going to happen. And of course, now you have the reports, the talks about doing a split season with Montreal or even the team leaving altogether. You know, this town, they have remembered, they wish they couldn't remember, but twice they have been left at the altar by Bill Parcells. They also, many of them went to bed a few years ago at night thinking that Chip Kelly was going to be their new head coach, and it wasn't. There was a snag in contract negotiation. They remembered unsuccessful pursuits of Bill Cowher, of Brett Favre. This team has many, many times swung for the fences and missed. They struck out, and it's been hard on this fan base. They finally feel like they got something special. And to reiterate what one of them said to me last night, he said, you know, we finally have something to feel proud about. We haven't felt like this since we won the Super Bowl 17 years ago.
Well, and Jenna, it's hard for me to feel bad for Bucs fans. I'm a Raiders fan, so I remember that Super Bowl vividly 17 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
It hurts. The hurt's still real.
I can imagine.
Okay, the other thing the world is all abuzz about, we know the Bucs are going to be making some jersey changes. Come on, tell the world what they need to know. Everybody last night was demanding the return of the creamsicles. Can you confirm or deny whether or not we're going to get to see the true old schools on Brady?
They're keeping these uniforms under pretty tight wraps, but I don't believe the creamsicles are going to be part of it. We'll just have to see, though. I think if anything, if they were going to go, you know, back in history, they might go back more towards the pewter and the red, the look that really became synonymous with the Buccaneers that, you know, made a run at the Super Bowl and won in 2002. I think they'd be more inclined to do that versus going to the creamsicle. But it's crazy how much we despised those things years ago and how much so many fans, and I have to say, I believe that with the throwback uniforms, they did change the shade just a little bit. It just looks a lot more attractive than it did back in the day. But I think if anything, you'd be seeing probably more of what we saw, you know, in the mid to late 90s and you know, all the way through the mid 2000s. But I'm happy to say that the alarm clock numbers, I believe, are a thing of the past. I don't think we're going to have to worry about those anymore. Those were so difficult to read, especially during training camp when you had 90-man rosters. Oh, my gosh.
I'm just a man of the people trying to give them what they want. Follow her on Twitter at Jenna Lane ESPN. Jenna, as always, we appreciate you. And I have a funny feeling you're just going to be talking to everybody nonstop for the next year. So congratulations. This is going to be wild to cover for Tampa Bay. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much. Yeah, it's definitely already getting pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, this is just for Tampa Bay fans, this is the moment where you turn around and say, man, suddenly everything feels different. And last night, Twitter was all abuzz about the wait to try and get season tickets. It's going to be interesting to keep an eye on. So we're going to switch gears to other quarterback news, because the breaking news you may not have heard yet is that Nick Foles has been traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the Chicago Bears. Now, I think a lot of us expected the Bears were going to do something in during this time to try and address at least competition for Mitchell Trubisky. We now know that something is Nick Foles, who has a fairly hefty contract and now finds his way headed to Chicago. To help us break it down, ESPN Bears reporter Jeff Dickerson joins us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. JD, thanks for some time, man. What's your reaction to the breaking news?
Well, Jason, not a surprise at all that they went out and made acquiring a veteran quarterback a priority here. I mean, Trubisky had a very down year in 2019. The team in general, coming off an 8-8 season, was very disappointing after they won their division 2 years ago with 12 victories. So finding someone like Nick Foles was important. And then you look at the money, as you mentioned, it's over $15 million guaranteed this upcoming season. That's more than three times that Trubisky is scheduled to make in the final year of his original rookie contract. And then, Jason, it's the connections that Nick Foles has to the Chicago coaching staff. Matt Nagy coached him in Philadelphia and also Kansas City. John DeFilippo, the Bears' new quarterbacks coach, was with him in Philadelphia. Bill Lazor, their offensive coordinator, was with him in Philadelphia. Juan Castillo, the offensive line coach, was also in Philadelphia the same time that Nick Foles was. So I think acquiring a guy that they already had a built-in comfort level with, Jason, was very important, because we don't know when these NFL facilities are going to open back up. Will there be any offseason program? Will training camp be delayed? So they had to find someone that they knew, that knew them, that if they have to play right away and take over for Trubisky, they would be prepared from that standpoint to do so.
Such a great point, as you sort of break down the fact that there's some familiarity. In fact, that's part of why we connected the dots and made it make sense yesterday for the Panthers to acquire Teddy Bridgewater. So with that familiarity, Jeff, we've seen at times where Nick Foles has looked spectacular, and then we've seen at times that he simply hasn't. So what are the Bears, how can the Bears essentially tailor things to Nick Foles, but then still give Mitchell Trubisky the opportunity to shine and be the best quarterback he can be?
Well, they're going to change the scheme a little bit. They have to, especially if Trubisky's going to play at all this year. They can't run the stuff they ran last year, Jason. It just didn't work. I think what they will do is, and if you go back to last month's NFL Combine, Ryan Pace, who's the Bears general manager, said they still believe in Mitchell Trubisky. So what I can see happening is this illusion of having a competition this summer. But the difference is, if Trubisky falters or Foles just plays better, which there's a very good chance that will happen, that's it for Trubisky. I mean, the coaching staff, they know Nick Foles. They know what Nick Foles can do. They've got that relationship. I'm not saying that Nagy doesn't care about Trubisky and hasn't coached him for the last 2 years. But last year, the only plan B was Chase Daniel, who is just an amazing guy as far as earning money as a backup quarterback. It's incredible. But Chase Daniel isn't built to take over a team for the long haul. Nick Foles has done that. He has been a full-time starter at several spots in this league. He's won playoff games. He's been, you know, a big-time player in certain moments of his career. So that's why if Trubisky doesn't look good, and he very well may not, Jason, they make the move right away to Foles. They don't look back for this year. They still have to draft a quarterback, I think, at some point and build toward the future. But the bottom line is the Bears are in this position, Jason, because they took Mitchell Trubisky second overall, not a guy named Patrick Mahomes, not a guy named Deshaun Watson. And these are the consequences as an NFL franchise you pay when you make a mistake that bad.
That's why I think it's a little interesting. Quickly, I know we got to let you go, Jeff, but I think it's interesting that they go with the Nick Foles, because to me, in my mind, the one way that Ryan Pace could get out of everything we talk about with Mitchell Trubisky would be a home run signing somehow miraculously of somebody like, I don't know, Tom Brady. Are you surprised that Foles was the guy, given that there was a Brady option out there? Should they have been able to work out money?
Not at all. I can't even fathom that Tom Brady would have even returned the Bears phone call. I mean, there's no reason for it. There's no connections for him. This is a team that's missed the playoffs 8 out of 9 years. I know Tampa hasn't made the playoffs in a long time either, but I'm sure that they explored it. But I'm not surprised at all that it came down to a Nick Foles as opposed, let's put Tom Brady aside, like a Cam Newton or a Jameis Winston. They wanted a guy that they knew. And if it's up to the coaching staff and they say, get me Nick Foles or Andy Dalton, I think at this stage, after missing as many times as the Bears have missed at quarterbacks, the GM has to deliver, and Pace did that by trading for Foles.
Last thing, real quick, in your mind, by the end of the season, who's going to be the starting quarterback? Is it Trubisky or is it Foles?
Oh, it'll be Nick Foles, I think. I have nothing to base on Trubisky getting better. And now, Jason, he's got no offseason program. He's coming off of surgery. Evidence would suggest that it's likely going to be Nick Foles.
Follow him on Twitter, at Dickerson ESPN, always doing the great work. Jeff, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, my friend.
Thanks, Jason.
Jeff Dickerson breaking it down for you. We'll keep breaking down the quarterback position all across the board as Teddy Bridgewater is a Carolina Panther. Is that a better option than what they already had? First Take got into it. You'll hear what they had to say next. But first, it's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court basketball is, right? It's full defensive coverage with no holes. That's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best networks, same as big carriers, but for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. That's right. No contract, four-court coverage, half the cost. That's Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Get the Straight Talk on the quarterback position for the Carolina Panthers straight from First Take. Next, First Take your take on ESPN Radio. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and also on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can chime in on the Shell Penzo performance line. What should the Patriots do at the quarterback position? Specifically, I want realistic options of what they should do moving forward. You can tweet me, at Jason Fitz. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you can get in on the conversation. Chowden on Twitter says it's got to be Dalton to the Pats. His marriage in Cincinnati is over, but let's not forget he's taken an organization like the Bengals to the playoffs on four separate occasions. I mean, there is some sense to that. We're all out on Andy Dalton, but realistically, should we instead just be all out on the Cincinnati Bengals? I mean, I don't think that's unfair. Harris says, how about the Patriots trading from Brissett from the Colts? That also makes a lot of sense. We'll keep getting your thoughts on our 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In the meantime, the other big quarterback news that we have, we know, in addition to the breaking news today, Nick Foles has been traded from the Jags to the Bears. We get quarterback news every hour on the hour, it feels like. But yesterday, we got sort of the surprising news as we learned that, I'm getting more breaking news here. It looks like Dante Fowler headed to the Falcons. We're going to keep getting you all the breaking news as it comes across the screen here. In the meantime, Cam Newton, his career ended with the Carolina Panthers. Teddy Bridgewater looks like he's going to be the new quarterback there. The question is that really an upgrade? Dan Orlovsky joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about it on First Take today.
I like Teddy Bridgewater as a person. I think that he's a good dude to have on any team. He's a great, great backup. I think he can start for various teams in the NFL, but it's by default because I don't think there's a whole bunch of great quarterbacks in the National Football League. Hell, I don't think there's a whole bunch of good quarterbacks in the National Football League. Okay. As Max would talk about it, that middle class version that John Elway has alluded to, you know, when he was talking about Brock Osweiler years ago, Teddy Bridgewater is an upgrade from that. I certainly would insult him in that regard. But despite the 5-0 record as a starter, he was relatively pedestrian. I mean, I'm looking at it here. He comes into the game when Drew Brees goes down against the Rams, a game in which they lost 27-9. He completes 56% of his passes that game. All right. Yes, he completed 76. But you're talking about dipping and dunking. 165 yards passing one day, 177 yards another, 193 another. You know, he had one 300-yard passing game, another 240 game. I mean, he didn't exactly blow you away by throwing for 300 or 400 yards or anything like that. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve his money. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be a starter. But when I look at Teddy Bridgewater, I look at him as a relatively pedestrian quarterback who's not going to beat himself. I look at Cam Newton, when healthy, as a game changer. And to me, Super Bowl contenders have game changers, and that's where I'm looking at.
Yeah, I don't see Bridgewater as a game changer either. I see him maybe as a culture changer in Carolina. He may be more of the personality that they want on the top of the franchise. And also, let me say this about Bridgewater. For this upcoming season, you know, I've been a big Cam defender in the last year or so because I think people forgot about the kind of season he was having before he got injured the year before. He was maybe better than he'd ever been as a passer. And when you combine that with his other physical attributes, you go, wait a minute, this dude was once voted by his peers the best player in football over Brady, Rodgers, and everyone who, looking back at it, were still in their primes. He was the MVP. Like, no one was even doubting that. Number one in the game. So then he had a season that was sort of similar to that or was on his way to having that season, but he was better as a passer. So I thought, oh, look at this. Then he got hurt. And it turns out it's a catastrophic injury. He had to miss a season. So do I believe in Cam long-term after this season? Yes. But this upcoming season, usually when you have to take that amount of time off, you don't just hit the ground running coming back, particularly if you weren't the most accurate passer in the first place. So I'm not talking long-term for Carolina. I'm talking right now. Plus, Bridgewater is the kind of guy who's steady as she goes and as good as a stabilizing force in a franchise. Let me say this. He has certain things. I'm not saying he's Tom Brady or even Jimmy G, but he has certain similarities other than the kind of leadership stability that you like in a guy. Quick release, doesn't make mistakes. So that's what Tom Brady is nowadays. That's what Jimmy Garoppolo has been in the last couple of years. And you know what the thing is about those kind of quarterbacks? If you have good coaching and a good organization, you win a lot of games. I don't know if ultimately you win the Super Bowl. Mahomes, of course it was Mahomes, came back on Garoppolo, but he had a 10-point lead. Brady won a Super Bowl 13-3, the lowest scoring one ever, because quick release, don't make mistakes, steady as she goes personality in terms of the locker room. Bridgewater has those things in common with those guys, and I think in the immediate future is the better alternative.
Max, I've never heard anyone hate on a guy like you do Tom Brady and love on a guy like you do with Jimmy Garoppolo and compare them together so much.
I don't hate on Brady.
I think the reality of the situation is we can't make the assumption of Cam Newton being healthy. We have to assume that there is some form of a lack of 100% in his game right now. This is his third surgery in the last couple of years, second shoulder surgery. So we have to take it for what it is, that there's not necessarily a great amount of knowledge of where he stands with his health. If Cam Newton was completely healthy and never had those issues, then yes, it's a no-brainer that he's the better option.
The hardest part about that is teams can't know. I mean, you can't get your medical guys in to take a look at him. So, unfortunately for Cam, timing is going to be terrible here, because the other side of it is, if you're an NFL team, are you going to sit around and wait on the if come that possibly, through all of it, Cam's health is going to be fine and you can examine him later this summer and just simply not address your quarterback? I don't think that's likely to happen. So, it's going to be difficult. That's some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Speaking of Straight Talk, let's get some Straight Talk on what the Patriots should do at their quarterback position. David from Hawaii, give us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Come on, David, what's your take?
Jason, thanks so much for taking my call, and congratulations on your new position.
Thanks,
my question for you is, who do you think will be the first one to have a statue outside Gillette Stadium, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick?
Oh, that's an easy one. It's going to be Brady, because Brady's going to be done before Bill Belichick's done. I mean, to me, you're not getting a statue until you're done, and the chances are, in my mind, even if Brady goes just is spectacular everywhere else he goes, in 3 years, he's likely out of the league. I could see Belichick staying around long enough just to outlast Brady and prove that he could win. So because Brady's out first, he gets the first statue, although it'll be interesting to see if they put those statues next to each other eventually or on other sides of the stadium. We'll see. Cameron from Indiana, what's your take on what the Patriots need to do?
Yeah, so my take is for the Patriots, you need a guy, and then the Colts just got ripped. So why not send Brissett back to the Patriots? But he knows the offense, he knows the coaching, he knows what he's got to get done. And for the Colts also, why not try to get Newton to put him behind it and experiment with both of them?
Hey, I don't mind the idea at all of Jacoby Brissett. And thanks for the call, Cameron. The idea of Jacoby Brissett heading back to New England actually makes a lot of sense. You know, you get yourself somebody that you were high on at one point that you've had some success with. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Again, new breaking news in. Dante Fowler signing as a free agent with the Falcons. Remember, he had 11.5 sacks last year, the second most on the Rams. The Rams were aggressively trying to keep him. However, Dante Fowler has decided instead to head to Atlanta. So Dante Fowler going to be trying to chase down Tom Brady a couple of times a year. That'll be fun to watch. In the meantime, question we're going to get answered next. Was it Brady or was it Belichick? We'll take some of your take on what the Patriots need to do. Plus, you'll hear Stephen A. and Max break down who should get the credit for all of the victories in New England. That's coming up next. First Take panel, Wayne, and you'll hear it. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Again, breaking the news as we get it at this point. Dante Fowler to the Falcons. 11.5 sacks in 2019. That would be the second most on the Rams. Signs a 3-year, $48 million deal. Surprising part of that, by the way, we haven't heard anything yet on Jadeveon Clowney. Remember, Bill Barnwell, in his expectation article about a month ago, where he had different scenarios, had in some scenarios Clowney making as much as $25 million a year from some deals. So far, it sounds like that money hasn't been there. Tune in, by the way, to First Take Your Take, obviously every day. But afterwards, tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you get your podcasts. Also, shameless plug, I'm going to be doing some work. Bill Barnwell, I just mentioned, we're going to do a little live stream this afternoon. Mike Golic Jr., myself, and Bill Barnwell to break down some of the free agency needs, info that you need to know. Give some grades out there. I'll tweet out a link at Jason Fitz. We're going to do that at, I think, 3:30 Eastern. So still trying to give you some content out there you can check out. And of course, if you missed the first hour or the second hour of today's show, we're on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average with Capital One? You can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, NA member FDIC. Who's got more to prove? Is it Brady or Belichick? Well, Orlovsky had that debate with Max and Stephen A. today on First Take.
I'm one of those guys that thinks it's Brady. Now, I understand. I know what I just said about the multitude of responsibilities that Bill Belichick has had. But please don't get me wrong, but I'm thinking at the actual Super Bowl games that have taken place. I'm thinking about when you beat the Eagles. I'm thinking about when you beat the Carolina Panthers with Jake Delhomme. I'm thinking about, you know, when you beat Seattle, even though you should have lost that game. I'm thinking about, you know, when you came back against Atlanta. There are a multitude of situations where New England's defense, although always, always very good those seasons, they won Super Bowls. There were a lot of times where Brady came to the rescue. It wasn't just in terms of his offensive performance. It was in terms of ball control, not making mistakes, not allowing you to beat yourself, et cetera, et cetera. Not going out there and making the kind of typical mistakes that we've seen other quarterbacks make. And when you look at it from that perspective, I just view it from the standpoint that Brady is the GOAT for a reason in a lot of people's eyes, because when it was called upon for him to show up and deliver the goods, that's exactly what he ended up doing. Bill Belichick is obviously exceptional and an exceptional overseer as well as a defensive mind, but there were times over the years in their Super Bowls where they were a top five defense. They were, you know, 13th in yards allowed, 21st in yards allowed, 22nd in yards allowed, things of that nature. And I recall those things factor it into the equation when they were in jeopardy of losing Super Bowls before Tom Brady came to the rescue. So that's how I view it, and that's why I give Tom Brady the nod in terms of being more responsible.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. When we talk about who's under more pressure, I think you have to look at what we're deciding on as sort of success. Is it personal stats? I mean, if Brady goes in and just lights it up under Bruce Arians, but the Bucs don't win, are we going to blame Brady? I'm not sure what the answer is that for that. I'm also not sure what's the next step for the Patriots. You guys are giving some of your take on it. Theo in Missouri. Theo, what's your take on Brady and Belichick?
Man, are you guys off. Have you forgotten who Bill Belichick is in the Patriot way? What round was Tom Brady drafted in? When he was put in to replace Drew Bledsoe, did any of you think that he was the next greatest of all time Hall of Fame quarterback? Did you sing his praises? When Brady went down and they put in Matt Cassell, did the ship fall off? No. Bill Belichick will probably either go with what he has in-house, or he will go with what he can get out of the draft that he has already spotted and already has lined up as a replacement. He will do it at a bargain basement price.
Okay, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a follow-up question, Theo. Theo, let me ask you a follow-up question. First of all, I want to say loudly, I've been saying all week that I think Belichick deserves as much credit as Brady. So, you know, if you're going to come in and say that, A, we're not giving Belichick credit, you're listening to the wrong show. I've been doing that loudly. But secondly, if Belichick had known that he had the greatest quarterback of all time on his roster, would he have waited till an injury to play him?
No, he wouldn't have. But consider, he's won doing it that way. And I didn't remember, I said, not giving him enough credit. I didn't say you weren't giving him any credit.
I've said on air that I think he's the greatest football coach of all time. Theo, you got to come at somebody else if you're going to come about this Brady stuff with Belichick, because I've said on air that I think Belichick's the greatest coach of all time. I've also said, if you haven't been listening, if Brady goes in and says, hey, this is how I want things to run, this is how I want things to go in the future, I have no problem with Belichick turning around saying, hey, you know what? That's not how I want to do things. That's not the Patriot way. I have no problem entrusting Belichick through any of this. In fact, I think Vegas is entrusting Belichick with the fact that they haven't really changed the projected win total based on the fact that there won't be a Tom Brady at quarterback. So you're barking up the wrong tree with all of that. However, it's revisionist history to turn around and suddenly say we weren't giving credit to Brady as suddenly becoming the best overall, when in fact, if he'd known he had the best overall quarterback on his roster, the best quarterback of all time, it wouldn't have taken a Bledsoe injury to get him in, number one. If he'd have known that Brady was going to be who Brady was going to be, he wouldn't have waited till the seventh round to draft him. Good God, sometimes you get lucky along the way, and it's okay to admit that you drafted somebody in the seventh round and you got lucky doing it. It's okay to turn around and admit that you drafted somebody late and it worked out. It's also okay to say that it's not likely to work out the same way again. Good God. I mean, to come in and say that you can just plop anybody in at quarterback because you're Belichick, if that was the belief, they would have done that a long time ago. The fact is, they're rolling the dice this way, and it's okay to question rolling the dice when you haven't been asked to do it for 20 stinking years. Coming up, the Will Cain Show, going to keep breaking down all the news you need to know during this wild free agency time. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio.